friends and family, it's time for Mio Ayo. You got this. A safe place for self-discovery. Here is your host, owner of Mio Ayo Counseling Services, Christy Shaw.
Good morning. My name is Christy Shaw, and I'm from Paipop First Nation. My mother's from the Métis community in Librette, and I am an Indigenous social work graduate from the First Nations University, and I'm now a mental health therapist through NIHB. And my goal, I guess, in this profession and in this journey is to empower people to understand themselves, share with them some of the tools and some of the things that I've learned along my healing journey, and especially the tools that have been helpful through my education journey in Indigenous social work. And then I guess the other side is the some of the spiritual aspects. That's probably why I don't call myself a mental health therapist, because it's not just about what's going on in the mind. It's about what's going on in the heart, in our bodies, in our environments, and in our communities and things like that. So it's a bigger kind of, I guess, view of what I hope wellness to be and how I can share that with the people that I'm around. So I try to make things kind of easily to understand. I don't want to overcomplicate things. I don't think that that's very empowering to people. I want people to have the tools to really understand themselves. And, you know, another reason for that is sometimes when we don't understand ourselves and we don't maybe understand where we come from or why we are the way that we are, we're kind of susceptible to people that might tell us who we are. And then that kind of delays our journey another maybe 10, 15, 20 years into really finding a sense of peace and wholeness within ourselves and that empowering feeling that I think we all want to have. So I've worked with different knowledge keepers and teachers, and I really appreciated, you know, them really understanding those aspects of themselves. However, with my education, I guess, within the westernized education, there's other tools and theories and things that are actually helpful. I wouldn't say that that's just the whole thing that I'm about, but there are some pieces that I like to pull in, because in terms of understanding myself and my family, a lot of those theories were very, very helpful to understand. And so it helped me to come to a place of peace and forgiveness in my upbringing, in my family, understanding why we were the way that we were without any more shame or judgment attached to that.
Yeah.
So I found education to be very helpful for me in that, removing that stigma, I guess, that I was carrying for so long, and that of my family as well. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Mio Ayo, Improve in Health. And I'm joined by my great friend here, Will.
Hello, Christy. Welcome back to Oakley Studios once again.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's so nice to have you out here when you come out. It's always such a little ray of sunshine in an otherwise dreary day.
No, yes. Well, you know, and it's kind of cold today, so.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't want to talk about that. But yes, it is very, very chilly outside. And that in itself takes a little getting going in the morning, a little extra.
That's so true.
I know. I got up this morning thinking, oh. First off, will my car start? And I gotta put on the 8 layers of clothes to go out and try.
That's kind of how my car sounds.
Sorry. I can tell it's really cold with my car because the clock resets.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, if it gets too cold, it's like, oh, we're back to midnight.
Yeah, well, I mean the weather and the coldness that we're experiencing today is kind of going to play into what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, another way I'm thinking about it is that it's always surprising to find out how much it all is fixed together, how much
yes.
it ties together. Like in the morning, if you're thinking negative, then you're going to have a negative day.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I really understand. The first half hour when I wake up, first hour, maybe 45 minutes, my mind is susceptible to whatever I take in,
mm-hmm.
right? And if I take in negative stuff on social media, then it's like, I start kind of growling. But if I listen to some awesome music or mm-hmm. I breathe in some fresh air or feel the sunshine.
Absolutely.
It's totally different. Totally different. And the way your psyche, like your mental health, your physical health is so tied together. I think that's today's topic is there is
exercise that you can do that you probably didn't even know were out there.
That you didn't even know. And I don't think a lot of people even understand what fascia is.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So fascia is a connective tissue that goes all throughout our body. It's kind of like a white substance. I would say it's between the muscle and the skin, just to kind of give people an image of what we're talking about here. So it runs
now,
all...
this is a physical part of your body.
Physical.
You can see it.
You can see it.
You can see it. I guess if you want to get kind of gory, it is there. It's not more of a spiritual thing. This is an actual part of your body you can fine tune.
Yes.
Or I guess not so fine tune. Recondition, I guess you can say.
You can recondition it. Absolutely.
I'm getting ahead of myself here, but okay.
So the anatomy of our fascia, it's a thin sheath of fibrous tissue enclosing a muscle or other organs. So it's a fibrous tissue that forms a sheath or a band surrounding our muscles, our organs, and other structures. And it provides support and protection while also allowing movement and flexibility. So this thin connective tissue and casing surrounds every organ, blood vessel, bone, nerve fiber, and muscle in place. So I think the reason why, you know, I want to talk about this today is the nerving, the nerve endings, the nerve fiber that is connected to our fascia. It's a more, I would say that this whole subject and this whole, study of fascia is kind of on the newer end. I first came across it on Facebook. I've of course been to massage therapy, reflexology, chiropractic care. I've had other things and I haven't done acupuncture yet because I'm afraid of all of those needles. But I'm always trying to find, I guess, other ways to help myself. And so I came across fascia on Facebook, and I think her name is Maria, and there's a few other ones, a few other specialists, I guess I'd say, in this field here that study fascia. And when I was watching this woman kind of work on one of her participants, she had grabbed, and I don't recommend this necessarily, but it was just kind of surprising to see, she had grabbed a whole kind of shoulder blade off of a person and just kind of tucked her fingers underneath the shoulder blade and kind of tugged and lifted up. And she said, "You're carrying too much weight on your shoulders. And so that's why this is tight right here. And you need to let that go and you need to grow your wings and fly." And I was like, wow, I've never seen a body practitioner add in so much, I guess, of the emotional attachment and things that we have in our bodies to address kind of those areas and the pain, but also to connect in with how do we free ourselves, you know, from those painful, literally pain that we're experiencing in our bodies, right? Mm-hmm. And so she connected different things like pains in the neck and pains in the feet and different things like that. So it kind of got me started on this curiosity, of course, of fascia and what exactly is it? The tissue, the fascia tissue itself does more than provide the structure, the internal structure. Fascia has nerves that make it almost as sensitive as skin. And when it's stressed, our fascia will tighten up. So this thin layer of connective tissue forms a comprehensive network throughout the body and encasing every organ. Its function extends beyond just the internal structure. It's richly innervated, rendering it almost as sensitive as skin. Sorry. And it plays a crucial role in the body's response to stress as it tightens under pressure. So I'm thinking about people that, you know, experience pain. I know my mom was somebody that experienced a lot of pain. She had some surgeries to her back, but it seemed like nothing was ever right, or it didn't have the effect that she was hoping for. So similarly, she went to massage and chiro. She also took a lot of pain medication as well, and nothing, you know, gave her that relief that she was looking for, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because of that, because of being in an underlying painful body, you know, it made her depressed because she couldn't get up and go and do things because of this pain that kept her very, very stuck. And I always was curious about that, right? Like, how did you need to exercise more? Did you need to move your body more? But of course, now that I've experienced my own levels of pain, I can understand how sometimes, yes, even getting to exercise is painful enough for you to not want to go.
Yeah.
And now that I see how important our fascia is when it gets triggered under stress, it makes sense how people, their whole bodies could be, you know, in pain. And it's hard to articulate. It's like, well, were you in a car accident? Not recently, you know, or how are you sitting? Or, you know, you get all these questions and sometimes it can be a little bit deflating, I guess, or you feel a little bit lost in your own body.
Well, sure.
Not being able especially to say.
Not being able to find out the cause.
Right.
And if you go to the doctors, then there's a whole battery of tests and you still might get a whole handful of medications and still be sore.
And
because it almost sounds like it's something that might be confused with fibromyalgia. That's another condition that affects almost like nervous system. So I think it could be almost similar, possibly, because again, I know people with fibromyalgia who do meditate, and as opposed to medication,
right?
And it helps them. So it must be. I guess it's a nervous system.
Not a
condition, but it's just a way of, I guess, again, easing what stress you have. Because I guess what I'm saying is stress can store in the body in many different ways, mm-hmm. whether it be mentally, even physically in your muscles, mm-hmm. or in this case, in the fascia. And it stores it there.
It does.
And that's where that residual pain comes back. Right?
Yeah. And if you think about all of the connective tissue that it's from your head to your toe, right?
Exactly.
So sometimes, you know, you might understand that, okay, well, my back is sore, so I might be stressed about a certain thing, but you don't realize that it might even leach down into your hips or your knees or into your ribs. That's something that I experience a lot is sometimes I feel like I can't breathe. Like I can't take a full breath. Yes, it's from my driving and my slouching and things like that. But even from doing yoga and things like that, I still have to work a lot on my rib cage. My daughter will laugh because I'll say, I think my rib is out. And she's like, no, mom, your rib is still in your back. You're okay. But it was just me trying to explain what I was feeling and sensing in my body, but not having any relief.
Mm-hmm.
And even with my massage and chiro, not that I wouldn't say that those aren't worth it, because they are certainly worth it, right?
Yeah. Each one has its benefits.
Right? Absolutely.
You know, whenever we do a show, I get like a down, like, oh, that would happen. So I remember when I was a kid, I'd have abdominal cramps and like debilitating cramps. And I'd go to the doctors and they said, well, where's the pain? I said, it's from side to side. And he said, well, there's no muscle that goes from side to side. They go up and down. So I don't know where your pain's coming from.
Right.
And right away, it's like, you know, self-absorbed, oh my God, it's me. Right.
Right.
But now it's like, there could have been an exercise. There could have been something that I could have released.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that pain too, right?
Absolutely.
And medically, they can't find it. So this is why we search elsewhere.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Like I was thinking about, when you're looking for something and we go to Western science and medical side of things, and then they're like, you know, they kind of shrug their shoulders, but it's so weird to kind of be in your body and be like, well, hold on a second. You're supposed to be the be all of and end all of knowledge.
Yep.
And you don't know what's wrong with me. And then, well, who would know? Right.
Yeah.
Or if they're dismissive, right, of your concerns, when you feel something in your body and somebody says you shouldn't.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, well, hold on a second. I am, right? Or, so it's very confusing.
It's just growing pains.
Or just growing
I've
pains.
I've heard that so many times. It's just growing pains,
it's
right?
Because
I was a teenager. I was a young adult. You're still kind of, but it's dismissive. Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of stomach specifically, I will say this, that I noticed, because I did get a fascia massage done. It's called Mandela Massage in Regina. And the woman who had completed my treatment. She is, I believe, in kinesiology, wanted to study psychology. So her and I had a really good chat about fascia. So it was helpful for me, but I was also trying to enjoy my treatment at the same time. Anyway, one of the things that I noticed, and because I had talked about the connection to our organs, was for me in my journey, you know, mindless eating and overeating became something that I used to help myself feel better, waiting for me to self-medicate, self-soothe. And so I still don't really understand when I'm full. I've lost that connection to my body. I think a lot of people that struggle with maybe overeating or things like that, different eating disorders, maybe can relate to this. once I had the hip area and my chest area, my pectoral area, maneuvered, it was like all of a sudden I could feel my stomach again, like internally, right? Okay. I was like, huh. And so even the things that I wanted to eat, I was like, it's like me and my stomach were talking about, well, you know, let's not have McDonald's because you're going to not feel great after, you know, what kind of salad or soup are you thinking of? And I was like, wow, I've never really thought this intentionally and maybe been so connected to my body, you know, and being aware instead of just kind of more automatic and fast food and things like that. Yeah. Right. So not only that, when I was eating, feeling that sensation of being full a lot sooner than I ever had before, it'd almost be to the, you know, the overdoing it stage. Right. So, I didn't realize how, I guess, internal this fascia is and how important it is to ourselves to understand what, you know, all of those connections that we're always talking about. Mm-hmm. So fascia is increasingly recognized as a sensory and emotional organ due to its extensive network of nerve endings throughout the body, allowing it to perceive pressure, movement, temperature changes, and potentially influencing our emotional state by interacting with our autonomic nervous system, essentially acting as a sixth sense that can register subtle bodily sensations and contribute to our overall feeling of well-being or discomfort, right? So I think, you know, as I've been, you know, visiting you with the podcast, always talking about how those connections to our body are extremely important for our own well-being. And I've just connected with my stomach. What's going to happen when I connect with my heart organ? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm curious, right? The curiosity of understanding ourselves, I think, is so important and so healthy. So fascia contains a high concentration of sensory nerve endings. So sensory nerve endings, if you think about all of the sensations that we have in our hands and in our feet and how sensitive they are, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's how, I guess, intense this fascia is. And again, when we are taught to ignore our body, you know, sometimes people might have heard, you know, it's all in your head.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Or being dismissive of the pain in your stomach is a really mm-hmm. good example, actually, because I think about a lot of folks who might have pain in their stomach, and maybe they do, maybe they don't. And what I mean by that is sometimes that gets labeled as anxiety. And maybe it is, and maybe it isn't, but maybe it's that your stomach and a connection that it's under stress. So that stress signal, for whatever reason, I'm not sure. Again, it's very individual too, whole subject. So I would say that, you know, just to caution that's why Western science typically, you know, is always waiting for more research and information, because it's very subjective. It depends on the individual, which I get that makes sense. But for me as a different type of practitioner, of course, it should be subjective. You can't paint a picture with the same paintbrush and expect it to work on everybody.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. So, yeah.
I think it's more along the line of being able to listen to your body. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Okay. My gut's kind of sore. It's like, okay, why? Mm-hmm. What did I eat?
Right.
Am I stressing? Is it because I got a big test tomorrow, or because mm-hmm. I got a big meeting tomorrow, or because I'm got a deadline? Mm-hmm. Right. Because I think that's the first part. Because mm-hmm. if you can, okay, I kind of know why I'm sore, like maybe because I got a flu or maybe because I was sick yesterday. Right. And then you can decide whether to go to the doctor and see what mm-hmm. he says, or you can just go on your own little. Mm-hmm. And again, it has to be informed.
Yes.
Right. Do your research. Talk mm-hmm. with somebody, talk with a health practitioner or talk with a healer and just get some insight, because that's the first. And again, I say this before, everybody's on their own healing journey, but it's that first step. It's that first step in a good way mm-hmm. that once you take that second, it gets a little easier, a little mm-hmm. easier, a little easier. And then you're able to find, you have, I guess, the confidence to question where that pain is coming from.
Absolutely.
Because right? you know, it's something is causing it, but kind of have to filter mm-hmm. through a lot of things to find out whether it's an actual like a virus or it could be like your feelings. Because
totally,
if you don't, what I found out from my journey is that if I don't address my feelings in a good way, then they get stored up and they come back negative.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't deal with it, then they keep coming back and keep coming back. And that's where that ugly little loop comes. And I'm again, on my journey, I had that one moment where it's like, wait a minute, there's an easier way.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, it's like, oh, okay. So, and like I said, I respect everybody on their personal healing journey. And I hope that you can say, hold on. Oh yeah. What is that? Because that's happening to me as well. So in regards to this, and when we first mentioned this, the second time we've talked this on a podcast, but it's interesting because a lot of people don't realize that this is actual part of the anatomy and how important it is, because it touches your entire body. Like you said, from your hair right down to your toenails.
Yeah.
So it's another part of your body that you could use for you.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And to gain a connection with, and to also find some relief as well. So I will say with this fascia, what I've learned is that it does have to, like, you do have to go to somebody who has an understanding of the body and right. the anatomy, the scientific aspects, right? Because I'm not sure exactly where all of our fascia is and where there's buildup and where there's less fascia. I do understand, though, obviously, the connection between the stress and the fascia that we experience, mm-hmm. Just within my own body. And maybe I can, help others maybe understand their different pain points that they have. I think the other thing to consider is this something that is reoccurring, this type of pain? So
right.
We have fascia in our mouth, right? So a lot of people who maybe bite their tongue, right? Or they have problems expressing themselves, they're going to clench their jaw, right? And maybe those at home are kind of, understanding that experience and that stress and that tension. There are different massages that you can do to help you to release that tightness that's in your mouth. Mine is so tight that even when I go to the dentist, it's a problem.
It's going to pry your mouth open.
It is. They have to, like, sometimes put a little, little extra cushion around my mouth because I want to clench it back down again. So just finding ways to release some of that pain that we have.
We're going to get into some of this fascia massages as the show grows here. But one thing that kind of struck me to talk before about this is the Chinese arts, martial arts, have pressure points in the body.
Yes.
And I think this is kind of tied to what we're talking about today because, like you said, the fascia is all of the body. And if you have tightness in a certain area, there's certain massages you can do. But I know there's also pressure points
mm-hmm.
that affect the entire body as well. So I think it's just a way of encapsulating. What I see this fascia is almost like a thin, white little bodysuit covering you under your skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I visualize that mm-hmm. it is. And it's a physical thing that you can actually rehabilitate, or
yes.
again, if it's a pain, you can kind of massage that pain away and get more energy from it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just something that, again, I didn't have any idea about what this was until we started talking about it. It's like, what?
What is this? Yeah. What is this part of my body? So yeah, there's lots of information, like, online if you were wanting to kind of understand where in the body, because they have a lot of, like, an image of a human body and the muscle fibers, and then they show where the fascia fibers are.
Oh, a little cutaway on?
Yeah. A little science lesson, yeah,
exactly.
for you,
yeah.
if you're interested in that sort of thing. Yeah. And I think a lot of the differences that I guess I could just highlight really quickly is there are different types of fascia, each with its own unique function and location. So superficial fascia is a thin layer that lies just beneath the skin and contains fatty tissues, nerves, and blood vessels. Our deep fascia is that fibrous tissue that surrounds muscles, bones, and organs, providing support and protection. And then there's visceral fascia. This type of fascia surrounds and supports internal organs such as the heart, lungs, and intestines. Okay, so there's layers to this, right?
Okay.
So I guess that making sure that you go to somebody that has that expertise,
right.
If you want to learn more, if you want to maybe try out a fascia technique or experience for yourself, right? So the reason why this is important too is for our body and our movement. So fascia plays a crucial role in movement by transmitting forces generated by muscles to bones and other structures. And it also helps to maintain proper muscle alignment and prevent injuries. I think about a lot of people that do have had injuries or continue to have similar injuries, right? So again, you might be able to do so much with muscle building or certain types of regimens, but sometimes people still have the same kind of reoccurring injury. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because of fascia that's been tightened or hasn't been maneuvered enough to allow the flexibility or the stability that you need. So I think, I'm thinking about my grandmother who has some problems with walking, and she's fallen a couple times, and she's just very stubborn, doesn't want to use a cane. Mm-hmm. So her and I have actually talked about this as well, is have you thought about doing a fascia release? Have you thought about what type of movements you'll need to do in order to gain that strength in the right muscles that you need, right? So getting really, being really curious about your body and wanting what's best for you and kind of, you know, you're going to really internalize looking in at a very scientific level at yourself. I would say from a place of curiosity, but also, you know, when you kind of pull back again, what would that mean for the health of your life, right? Mm-hmm. To understand yourself and to give your body what it needs by listening to the cues that it's giving you rather than ignoring it and taking another Tylenol or an Advil or compensating in a different way.
Isn't that's a key right there. That's empowerment right there. Mm-hmm. Is healing yourself without having to go to the Western doctor and get pills. Mm-hmm. Because nothing worse than taking a handful of pills in the morning and then just still feeling crappy. I've been there. I've been there so many times. I had to throw them all away and start all over again with my diabetes, type 2, and what have you. But a lot of the stuff that I was searching didn't need medication. It just needed searching.
Yes.
It just needed me to connect to my body. And again, a lot of people don't realize that, and I respect that. Mm-hmm. But I respect you on your healing journey when you get to that point and you realize that you have that power of healing yourself.
Absolutely.
And that is like, that's a superpower.
Right?
It is. Yeah.
And I think at first when I was, you know, I've never really thought about looking at my body from an anatomic, I guess, level or a scientific level. But the more that I'm understanding myself and I guess having that, just that curiosity, right? And I think about some of the people that I've worked with, especially some of the older people, and you know, some of them have said some really funny things, but I understand what they kind of mean now more, which is like, they would say something like, this little piece of paper isn't going to tell me who I am, right?
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, how could I allow that to be, or why should I, or, you know, giving that over to somebody else, you know, to say, you're going to know me better than I know myself. And that sometimes happens with some of the doctors and things like that. And I just think about that because a lot of times when we do interact with the healthcare system, we don't get a lot of answers or support as it is, just as a baseline,
right?
Yeah. We're just having our concerns even heard can be hard, right?
Because the doctor or nurse isn't listening to your concerns, they're listening to your what are they called? What's making you sick? Right?
Mm-hmm.
They
want to find symptoms.
Symptoms. Yeah, listen to your symptoms, not your feelings.
Yeah.
Right? They care about not healing you, getting rid of those symptoms.
Which is
totally different than healing.
They would be masking maybe some of the symptoms, especially if they are emotionally connected.
Yeah, because they just keep coming back and they say, well, let's try this med, let's try this drug, let's try that. But then you realize that, there's an easier way.
So this is, you know, kind of the premise of why I share all of these things is to give folks and listeners and anybody who, you know, walks, you know, with me in my office and the work that we do is really giving people a sense of autonomy, understanding and empowerment over their own body, their own mind, you know, even I guess on a very muscular type of a level or a cellular level.
There we go.
Yeah. So that way people have more sense of clarity rather than being more confused, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
At the end of the show, we always give out your phone number and how to get a hold of you. But since we're midway through the show, let's give out your, if somebody's got a question right now, say, oh, I got to write this down. How do they get a hold of you?
Yes. So please text 306-526-6947. And I say text because I really have my phone on silent most times. Okay. So I apologize to those that do try to call, but texting is the best way, at least, and I can respond to your messages in a timely manner.
Yeah. The easiest thing is just to ask.
Yeah.
Just ask. We're going to take two and then we'll come back, talk more about exercises for the fascia. Welcome back to Mio Io.
Yes.
With Will and Christy.
Yes.
And today
yes.
We're talking about fascia.
Fascia.
I know. That's why I didn't want to say it. I was going to say it wrong. Okay, spell it.
F-A-S-C-I-A.
Okay, if somebody wants to Google that to find out what we're talking about today. But it's something, again, no matter where you are on your journey, whether you're just starting or whether you're identifying with what we're talking about today, what we would like to provide is an alternative, something that it may not work for you, but it may work for somebody else. And also the fact that the empowerment, I think that's what I really, really enjoy. It's like I said this before in the show, is how I lived my life almost in turmoil with trauma, not realizing that I was dealing with all this stuff. It's just stuff I carried along my way. And then one day after one of our shows, it's like, what? It's almost literally like the clouds parted, the sky was blue, and I felt positive. I felt good. And I thought, I could live my life like this. No way. So that's where my journey really started full on. And I started opening up to other possibilities, new ways of looking into myself,
right? Yeah.
And finding out how important that connection is. Mm-hmm. So with today's topic, this is just one more way of empowering yourself, bettering yourself in a good way.
In a good way.
Because once you do that and you succeed and you get a little bit of relief, it's like, oh, that is so interesting. I can do that. I don't have to wait 6 months to go see a specialist and wait for the results and then wait for the meds to kick in, because I know I've gone that road too. And every med has a side effect, right? Sometimes it got to the point where you're taking a med to cover the side effects of another medication. You're not going, you're not getting better at all. So my goal is to live medication free and to try live my life in a good way, right? And that's saying a lot. That's a big hefty goal right there, because there's a lot, so much involved that I didn't realize before my journey started, but now I'm open to all these different aspects.
Absolutely. Well, and even if you think about our traditional form of doctoring and medication, we still do have, you know, medicines that we do use for certain ailments, right? Yep. So I'm not saying, you know, that this is the magic piece that we've all been missing and I found it. No, I think it's another tool that we can have and in our toolbox. And again, I guess if I could encourage listeners to just be one thing is just be curious. I mean, Google, what the heck is she talking about? Fascia. Where is it in our body? What does it look like? What's the texture of it? And there's lots of information available online if you are curious.
I'm just wondering, if somebody asked a doctor or a nurse practitioner about this, would they get the same? They'd probably get a more factual, not opposed to what it can really do and how you can maneuver it. Probably, right? Because again, they're backed by medicine, so they have to push medical and
pathologizing.
Yeah.
Narrow vision, narrow scope of an ailment is typically, you know, MDs, medical doctors, except for Dr. Gaber Mate, of course, who's a medical doctor who, you know, started to work with people that live on Vancouver, downtown east side. So he's a medical doctor and he's actually created a method for counseling that is connected to your body, because he understood that even though he was seeing people for medical reasons with their ailments, you know, heart disease, lung disease, maybe things like that, right? Diabetes. He started to connect with what the emotional disconnect, I guess, would be for the folks that he was seeing. So he's created a counseling technique called compassionate inquiry, which just, again, connects to the physical pain that you feel in your body. And if there is any emotional or emotional pain or memory that is associated with that, right? I haven't taken the full course on it yet, but just because of all of the things that I research and look at, I could understand the connection that he's making. Mm-hmm. So and then again, of course, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, who wrote The Body Keeps the Score.
Right.
Yes. And then, of course, you know, I guess on the most simplest of way that I try to explain what the heck fascia is if you can imagine that there's tissue, a white tissue that, you know, is in between the muscle and the bones and the skin, right? Because otherwise it would just kind of flail around, I guess, if it didn't have a connection to
like
a grounding.
Grounding, it keeps in place. It can basically keep everything in place, right?
Yeah.
And it grounds, yeah, grounding, did it, big time.
Just realize that right now. So some of the things that can cause pain with our fascia, when fascia becomes tight or restricted, it can cause pain and limit movement. And this can occur due to injury, overuse, or poor posture. So I was thinking about migraines specifically, because that was something that I was suffering with, was migraines quite a few years back. And my doctor had prescribed me, you know, didn't really ask a lot of questions, you know, in terms of how are you taking care of yourself? Are you stretching? Do you do anything like that? And this was, you know, maybe I'd say 15 to 20 years ago. So maybe that's not what the norm was, is to ask those questions. But then he said, okay, well, here, I can prescribe you a pill that's going to be, I think it was $10 per pill. And every time you have a migraine, just take this pill. And I was like, well, that's, you know, I'm 37, 38, just turned 38 now.
Yes, happy belated.
Thank you. And so I thought, how the heck am I going to spend this much money on migraines? Let's say I have one, you know, twice a month for the rest of my life. That's not reasonable, right? And I also thought to myself, well, what is in this pill, right? Like, what are the side effects? I didn't get any of that information at the time. So I started to go to yoga and do different things for myself, because I just researched. I was just curious. You know, this was even before I was really, you know, into my degree and things like that. I was just always had this curiosity. Maybe it was also a mistrust, an underlying mistrust I had.
Yep, that goes. I can see that one. Yep.
In doctors and authority of you know, why are you trying to give me this thing and not trusting them? So then I just kind of just be curious and do my own research of what are some other methods, you know, naturopathic doctors or Chinese medicine or different things that I could use that were free, close to free, or I could find things from Mother Earth, right? And our medicines to help myself, mm-hmm. right? So I already had that understanding, right? Yeah.
I think that's underlying too as well. As Indigenous people, we're more, in search of a natural mm-hmm. a natural remedy.
We are.
And yeah, that distrust in doctors, that's generational thing. That's nothing to laugh about, because I know a lot of people say, oh, no, I'm not a go. Nope. No.
There were lots of people that won't go, mm-hmm. right? And then they'll continue to suffer. Yeah. I know I try as best as I can to not go to the doctor, because I don't trust what they're going to tell me is wrong with me. And then it becomes this, you know, never ending
Well, with my search. Daughter, she won't go until it's a kind of have to, because
yeah.
they understand the immunity that can build up to some of the some medications, mm-hmm. so that if you get too much, then it's not going to work anymore.
Right.
So that's something you have to think about as well. So
yeah.
Not saying all doctors are bad by any means, because they do serve a purpose.
Yeah.
And they are lifesavers.
They are. Yeah, they are. There Same with nurse practitioners.
Yeah, I guess it's along the sides of, like, you have like a hypochondriac who has always something wrong, or then somebody says, well, maybe there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's all how you perceive and how you're ready and what you're mm-hmm. comfortable with, right? Mm-hmm. What you're comfortable with.
Yeah. And maybe even just having a little bit of if I can encourage, just a little bit of educating yourself mm-hmm. or being curious about things and doing a little bit of research. If there's something, a concern that you do have that is important to you, that you bring up with your doctor or your medical professional, that you can approach the conversation, you know, from a strength, right? Like, I understand my body. This is kind of what I've, you know, understood to be happening for me. These are the things that I find helpful. These are the things that I don't find helpful. And then kind of leaving it up to them to help you to navigate that solution.
Sometimes,
you know,
that will help them. Definitely. Like, they might have a certain thought process, but then this is kind of sore. Oh, is that right? Okay. This could be this.
Yeah. Right?
So again, like you said, knowledge is power.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll talk a little bit about fascia and health. So maintaining a healthy fascia is essential for overall health and well-being. And this can be achieved through regular exercise, stretching, and massage. These practices can help improve flexibility, reduce pain, and enhance overall function. So what are some of the symptoms of fascia? So these are, you know, more of the, if you have some tight fascia, okay? So if you have any pain or tenderness or tightness in different parts of your bodies, you might even get a little electrical zing, which are those nerves being entrapped in the bound down fascia. So it's supposed to have a lot of flexibility and stretching. So if it's kind of like tensed, and if you can imagine, like, let's just say you get hit you know, you've been in a car accident and you get hit by a car, you know that your whole body, right, tenses up from head to toe. So now that you're out of that car accident, what is the cue for the fascia, that nerve ending, that all of that membrane to relax again that we haven't been hit? Right. So I guess that's maybe one way that I can visualize or help folks to visualize what it is that I'm talking about here. So, and I'm sure those that have been in car accidents can understand how it does. It hurts from the top right down to the bottom. And it takes us a lot of time to recover from that. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for our body to kind of find some relaxation, lots of massage and chiro and different things, being on bed rest for a while, depending on how severe. Right. So fascia, the connective tissue within the body, can manifest a variety of symptoms when it's not functioning optimally. And I guess this is maybe the other thing that I should highlight is I'm also encouraging optimal health with the things that I'm sharing. Yes, we can probably maybe never address our fascia and we'll probably be okay.
Right.
What I'm promoting, I guess, is optimal health. I want optimal health for myself. I want that for, you know, my daughter, and I want it for the people around me, because I see the connection between, you know, underlying pain and just not having a very positive and happy outlook on life. How can you, if you're in an underlying pain all the time with no solutions, right? So pain is a common indicator, often described as persistent ache or soreness in the affected area. Tenderness to touch is also frequently reported, with even gentle pressure causing discomfort. So I'm not sure if anybody's ever experienced that, but like, it's almost like there's parts of my fascia, I guess, now that I'm thinking about it, fascia that are tender, and it's usually my mid back. And so even like feeling something like cold or somebody putting their hand in that area, it's like a flinch kind of a thing, right? Where you tense up and the fascia becomes even more tight. So I guess that's a reason for you to maybe be curious and explore that for yourself, right?
Yeah. I always thought of like a chill in my back. That's I said, okay, oh, I got it. Oh, my sore, my lower back. I must have got a chill in my back.
Right.
Right. When in reality, it might be something. Well, it could obviously. I'm 57 year old. It's 48 below outside. I am going to be sore either way. But again, if there's other ways of releasing that other than taking like to my back meds every night.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, no, absolutely. And I think that tenderness is always interesting, because if you are wanting it to be relaxed and released, and if you have massage, or, you know, your partner maybe could, you know, offer you some relief there. You know, it's interesting that it's tender, right? So even approaching it in a tender way is going to be important, you know, caring for it, caring for the body. I've always gone to like, I kind of feel bad, I guess, about my body, but I've always gone to like deep tissue and chiropractic care. And it can be very jarring and kind of rough. And I always thought that that's what pressure was needed for me to experience some relief.
Okay.
And now that I've understood the fascia and I've had a fascia treatment done, I'm like, wait, maybe I was kind of making things worse actually, because I would need to go again. I'd get a little instant relief and I'd need to go again because the fascia was probably getting triggered even more. And I didn't realize that, right? Until I started to understand what the heck is this thing in my body. But I do know I was always experiencing pain. That's all I knew. And even bringing it up to people like my chiropractor, my doctor, and my massage therapist, they even still were kind of like, could be this, could be that, but no real solutions, right? Yeah.
I've had massages, light massages, I have deep tissue massages, but I've never gone to a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leery of a chiropractor and the fact that she cracks your bones, right? And it's like, I don't know. Is it supposed to crack like that? And then, of course, you see the horror stories on social media of people going to chiropractors and like getting their spine knocked with a hammer just to get back in place. Like, is that legal? Is that what you're supposed to do? And I'm sure if we have a chiropractor listening, they say, oh, no, I don't do that. But again, it's just kind of the unknown, right?
Right.
With your acupuncture.
Well, yes.
You just create needles and they use like 57 needles at one time. Like, yeah. I've done acupuncture. That is pretty interesting. It's good as long as you don't move.
Okay.
The moment you start moving, then you can actually feel the needles in your hand. But outside of that, like when they put them in, there's this little small, like a little mosquito bite. And then it's done.
Okay.
And then you don't feel any pain unless, like with me, I was so jazzed. I'm getting, take a picture. So I'm trying to get my phone. Why got all these needles in my hand? I'm trying to take a picture and I send it to Di, and Di says, what are you doing?
Oh no.
I just want to show you.
So what happens if you do move your hands? Does it hurt or what happens? Is it cramp?
Not a cramp, but you feel noticeable of those needles in your hand.
I don't think I can do it. Well, same thing with the cupping. Have you ever seen cupping?
I've seen it and I've seen the results. Like those big red marks on the backs. I don't know if I'd want to do that. I don't understand. Again,
to me, like, why would I want a big bunch of hickeys over my back?
been there. Don't want to go back on that one again. But I understand what with cupping, what it's supposed to pull out the toxins in your body of some sort.
I believe so. And I think that, yeah. And I think it's also, I think the heat part is also a key component to that. The acupuncture needles, are they warm or?
They are.
They are?
Yeah, they are heated.
Okay.
And then I've seen acupuncture where they actually put a little incense on the end of the needle and light that. And that's to direct little line into your power line or whatever it's called.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's like, ooh, I didn't go that far.
Yeah. But,
yeah. It's whatever you're kind of open to at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to check it out, by all means.
Maybe some people haven't even gone for a massage before, mm-hmm. right? And maybe some people haven't had a reflexology massage.
I really respond to saunas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of places have sauna aspects mm-hmm. to the healing, like the what they call flotation tanks.
Oh, yes.
And I want to try one of those where you're just in the darkness and you're just kind of floating
mm-hmm.
for like 45 minutes.
Yes. Right? That one is... sensory deprivation.
There we go. Yeah, sensory deprivation.
Yeah. Different.
I think it just goes back like to our ancestors in the sweats.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That was their healing. That's they whether you're sweated out or mm-hmm. whether you get your vision in there, right?
Absolutely.
But that was part of the culture. I think that's something that kind of may have been lost, but we're recognizing it through different aspects.
Absolutely.
Different ways of getting the same results, I guess you can say, right?
Well, and I was thinking about that too. It's like, how do we understand, you know, because a lot of our history and healing practices, I won't say maybe a lot, but there have probably been some that have been lost because of residential schools and the disconnect. But I guess when I was thinking about this, I was like, well, what, you know, where would I kind of look to? And I thought about babies, right? Babies that, you know, come into this, you know, physical world or straight from the spirit world and the way that they move and look and their curiosity with their bodies and their movements and things like that. You know, there's some yoga poses that are named after children, right? You know, the happy baby or child's pose and things like that. So when I think about how children kind of naturally react with their bodies and the fluidity, I guess, and the comfort, you know, and connection that they have with their bodies is kind of where I'm like, okay, maybe I should pay attention to what my little nieces and nephews are doing when they're playing and like that innocent curiosity, you know, of themselves when they first touch their hair, right? Or they first put their hand on our face and that little beautiful connection that we have, that love, right? Mm-hmm. Over time,
they discover they have feet.
Or when they, yeah, right? Their feet and their toes. Yeah. When do we do that for ourselves? We really don't, right? So I think, you know, there's sometimes where I'm like, maybe I could do my own pedicure just to be in touch with myself more, right? And connecting and noticing maybe if there is something wrong with my foot. Maybe I've got a bunion. I don't know, right? Yeah. I haven't looked down there for a while, so I don't know. But why are we always, you know, I do this as well, right? I've always kind of given everything up to others to fix and sort out, whereas now I'm taking that back. Because I want to understand myself the most. I want to have that power mm-hmm. within myself. I want to be able to walk into a situation maybe with a doctor if that comes to be and be able to say, listen, this is how it is. This is how it is. This is what you're going to do. These are my boundaries of what I'm willing to take in terms of medication. And in this area is I want you to advise me of what are my other options. What do they call that? It's like naturopathic, Chinese medicine, other alternatives.
Alternative
there it
medicine.
Is.
Yeah.
Other alternative medicine, right?
Then beds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And so understanding myself, I really, I'm excited, I guess, to have that conversation whenever it comes along.
Oh, don't. Yeah. Yeah. It's just empowerment, right? That's all it is.
Empowerment. Yeah.
And like you just mentioned, having the ability to heal yourself is pretty powerful. Like, oh, the fly coming back is, what the heck? Too warm in the studio. Sorry.
Spring is coming?
Crazy.
Well, and I think, again, if we think about traditionally, you know, our traditional healers would say, yeah, we do have that ability, or right. We do know where to go to get that help, or we go to Mother Earth for that help, right? So I want to promote that within our own people, right?
I think we've also lost that connection, that natural connection to Mother Earth, you know, where our ancestors had that every day.
Every day.
Every day. As soon as they walked up, they're in connection.
Well, they'd be wondering.
They slept on the ground, right?
Right.
So that connection with Mother Earth is always there. And now think about it, how many layers there are between you and the actual Mother Earth, right? Because something on the dead of winter, it's pretty hard.
yeah.
But, you know, meditation wise, you know, and what keeps coming back to me is like my pains, my aches. And when I wake up in the morning and I do yoga now, I do stretches and it loosens me up for whatever's coming next.
Yeah.
And thinking, I don't know, why didn't we do this so many times before? Because when I wake up, I step out of the bedroom and my dogs get up and the first thing they do, they have a big stretch.
Oh, they stretch right
in. Okay, well, let's go to today.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, that's what I got to do. I got to stretch and get ready.
Yeah.
To go about my day.
Yeah.
Because that's what my dogs do. They're saying, oh, yeah, okay, here we go. We're ready now.
Absolutely. Right? Animals as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How they interact and how they, you know, they can't sidestep a conversation when they're unhappy, right? They can't mask and you know, not show their disdain. You know, they're quite natural in how they, I guess, express themselves with when they're happy, when they're not happy, when they're excited, when they're not excited, you know, when they're tired, they don't mask it, right? But we have become so accustomed to masking so many things that it becomes unnatural.
Like even a child.
Right? Yes.
A child will tell you how he feels or how they feel. No, no word about it. They won't even wait for you to ask.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And even like in our, you know, if I think about how we would have lived traditionally, it's, we probably wouldn't have been able to get away with like not addressing a problem or a situation and maybe shying away from it. You know, our lives probably always depended upon us communicating, you know, what's working, what's not working, and what do we need to do, and having a team environment, right? And not delaying those types of important conversations. Whereas now, you know, we've gone away from that and having difficult conversations and expressing ourselves is very, very difficult for a lot of people, right? It causes them that stomach ache to think about, I have to speak up for myself, right? I have to tell somebody that I'm not happy with what they've done. And this makes me extremely uncomfortable. And if you just think about that tenseness of the fascia around the stomach, that's now kind of, cause that's where for whatever reason, actually, I'm not even sure. That's where that's stored, right? That nervousness or that butterfly. So that tenseness around the stomach issue, right? And then people that might have to ignore that fear as well, maybe they have a disconnect to the stomach, right? Ignoring those things.
Yeah. It's like you said, it's different for everybody. Everybody is different. And you could go your whole life and not even have to worry about this.
Right.
Right. But then others are in that place where they're searching.
Yes.
They're searching for why do I, I'm taking all these pills and I'm still sore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking like maybe it's, there's that bug right there. See? I'm not seeing things.
No, so, you're not.
I'm thinking like even maybe with my shoulders, I know my rotator cuffs, it's scoped on one side, got repaired.
Right.
And then this one, I'm assuming the same thing happened on this one.
Okay.
But, you know, I find that.
What does that mean, scoped?
It's mean where they go inside with a little microscope and they look at your inside and see if what they have to repair.
Okay.
And then if it's called scoped and scraped. So they put a microscope in and then they scrape all the buildup
of
cartilage,
I guess. Oh, yeah.
There could be a negative cartilage buildup.
Right.
And they scrape that. And then if not, then they, with mine, they have to reattach a couple of muscles that snapped.
Oh, okay.
And then they scoped it and they scraped it and then they put it back and then it was fine. And now it's starting to hurt again. So I don't know if I've injured it again. I know my other shoulder's like, that's really sore. So I don't know if it, again, before I go through that whole surgery route, I'm looking to see if there's any other way I can naturally deal with that pain. Because if I can deal with the pain naturally, then I don't want to go to surgery again.
Yeah.
Because that really knocked me for a loop there too. Those,
oh, for sure. Crazy. For sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Actually, there's... there is a fascia release that we can do that I just researched online today.
Okay. Well, we've got about 5 minutes left. So if you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's going to take a little bit of time actually. Okay. So basically what you're going to do is I'm trying to figure out how I can do this because I need a wall.
Okay.
Does this come off? Cool if it did. It's not though. Right.
I can turn yours up though.
Okay.
Okay. So describing things, Christy is now moving to the back of the studio.
So yeah, the main thing is being able to put your back against a wall. So just grabbing some wall space. And what you're going to do is you're going to put your toes together, so your big toes together, and ankles apart. Okay? And again, I'll always say go as comfortable and as much as your body allows you to. So no pulling, no straining yourself. If you have any sort of injuries, pre-existing injuries, I wouldn't recommend that you do this if you had anything with your ankle or things like that. So this is just for somebody who is, I guess, connected enough and safe enough in their bodies and is curious enough, I guess. So once we've got our ankles a little bit apart, we're also going to just gently bring the knees slightly together. So I wonder if I can show you a little bit better this way. Yeah, but back against the wall. You might come out a little bit, of course, with your adjusting. Okay. What would you call this?
Pigeon toed.
I knew that there was a name for it. Yeah. Okay. So now your hips and your back are just gently against the wall. And all you're going to do is just hands on the hips and you're just going to kind of push your chest a little bit forward. Okay. Just gently. And then back again. Okay. So you're kind of taking your shoulders off the wall. But your lower back is going to stay, okay, and back again. Can you feel that? It's powerful, isn't it?
I really feel right in the core.
You don't need to move much with this at all, okay? So toes together, ankles far apart, pigeon-toed, hips against the wall, and you're just gently leaning your chest forward, head straight, and back again. It's a tiny movement, okay? So I can feel it in my lungs. We're talking like millimeters here. Millimeters is all you need. You notice that internal connection to your organs? Did you notice that? That's why it's sensing that of part of you, right? And actually I've already gotten a few free chiropractic cracks. Ooh. Oh. So that's it. And then the more that you do it, the more that it's that fluidity and that flexibility that we're building. So it's going to be stiff at first. It's probably going to feel very strong at first. But as you build up that flexibility and fluidity in it, it's going to get a little bit easier for you to kind of move a little bit further if you need. So I can also feel it all the way up into my jaw. I have TMJ. So even just with this gentle posture. Yeah. You have resistance. Where is it pulling? It's pulling from here, but you're feeling it in the back as pain?
Not as pain.
Pressure. Yeah. So again, if you're imagining that it's the fluidity. So something that's been balled up extremely tight and you're slowly encouraging it to loosen up, right? Mm-hmm. So our body is also really compensate as well. So let's just say you have an injury or a mobility issue on your right-hand side. Your left side of your body will overcompensate.
Right. Yeah.
Same thing with the front of your body. So if you're tense and tight in the front of your body, the backside of you is going to compensate. Mine is reverse of what yours is. So my back overcompensates for my not strong core.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Because of being pregnant, of course, my stomach, you know, and the muscles have all kind of, they had to stretch and grow. And so there's, you know, we need to do the work to kind of bring that back all together. I haven't done it yet.
Same with me. It's opposite. Probably my core is compensating for my back. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why I felt it moving back as opposed to moving forward. Because my core is probably, it's my core saying, I'm fine. It's my back that says, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Man, interesting. Yeah. Interesting as ever.
So if there's anybody that's curious about fascia, you know, have a look online. Be curious, practice things, you know, a little safely. I always say, like, just take it really, really slow.
Yeah.
And just be curious with
listen
yourself.
To your body. Listen to your body. Because everybody says, ouch. It's like, okay, back off a little from there. Definitely. Christy, thanks for joining us once again. Mm-hmm. Any parting words today?
Just continue to be kind to yourselves. Be kind to your body, your mind, and your spirit. If our conversations spurred some questions and you'd like to talk, you can reach me at 306-526-6947. 306-526-6947.